Hey guys, here we are once again, episode 72. We are moving right along. I'm Jen.
I'm Jerry.
And we are still discussing 80s music. Now, like I said, this is probably going to be a six-part series. Today, we're going to be talking about our favorites in 1984 through 84, 85, and 86, I believe, is what we decided on.
Yeah.
And so, before we get into that, no Hiddleston news. I'm just going to throw that out there right off because we're all still waiting. But I do believe you did find something out about Depp this week.
Yeah, you know, which I thought was really, really cool. You know, Johnny at this point, he's got a fantastic career behind him, and he's an international star.
Absolutely.
And they, a 25-year screening of Donnie Brasco.
Oh, wow. It's been 25 years?
It's been 25 years. Those of us of a certain age.
Wow. You're fading in and out, babe. Are you moving around?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Well, yeah, apparently the Cinéma du Panthéon is a prestigious theater in Paris, and they had a screening, and Al Pacino showed up, Johnny showed up,
nice.
And they were seen together hobnobbing with each other and catching up.
Nice.
Apparently it was, in fact, a big, there's a lot of pictures
great.
That are out about it. Johnny looks like Johnny, still looks great.
Awesome. And Al Pacino is one of the celebrities that Tom Hiddleston does an amazing imitation of. So there we go, another degree. But yeah, there's been, they're still doing the whole Beetlejuice reunion thing, and he's going to be a part of that as well, so that's going to be awesome. I would love to see him and Winona get back together. I really think that those two were absolutely perfect for each other. I think they both need to realize it and just say, okay, you know, fuck the dumb shit and take it from here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I do want to send a shout out to any of our listeners if you happen to be in or around the Paris area and know anything about the premiere or anything. Hey, send us an email. Let us know. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Email is deppheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. But anyway, so we do have a lot of ground to cover. Top 100 songs of three different years. So let's get started. 1984. What's your favorite?
We should do a pause.
Okay. What are we pausing for?
I think we did 84 already.
We mentioned like one or two songs on 84. I think.
Okay, it was Ghostbusters and, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because remember I said, no, we can't get into 84. We don't have time.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Sorry. I mean, there's a lot that we really kind of got into it. God.
Yeah, but somebody's watching me. Number 26, Rockwell with Michael Jackson doing backup.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was Michael Jackson doing the chorus. That's right.
Yep. That was an amazing, I loved that song. At 99, Luft Ballons.
That one is a signature song for me.
Oh, it is, definitely.
Right?
This whole list, like, just encapsulates the 80s for me.
Yeah.
And how about number 14? Do you remember the video?
Yeah, with Courtney?
Yes.
Yeah.
Little tiny brunette, Courtney Cox Arquette.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, I do remember, and it made a real impression with people. Everybody kind of wanted it. I would say it was her first big exposure, right?
I think so. I really do think so.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like, Self Control by Laura Branigan at number 20. That one was Talking in Your Sleep at number 19. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you've got your Cyndi Lauper songs, Time After Time, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
You know, just all of these. I mean, Cyndi Lauper
was on there. She did She Bop. Yeah. That popped up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Cyndi Lauper is the 80s for me. Cyndi Lauper, Madonna.
Yeah.
Pat Benatar. Yeah, but I mean, this list, Sunglasses at Night. Corey Hart.
This might be, you know, and I look over the list, 84, I think, is where we're really, I mean, some of my favorite songs, sure.
Yeah.
Are on here. And there are other years that we've already covered where I'm like, not much that one, though.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at this list, every damn song on it, I can't think of one that I would skip on a playlist.
Right.
Every one of these songs. This might be the strongest year, I think, that we've come up with so far. Sherry by Steve Perry. Wow.
Hard Habit to Break.
Yeah, man. Sister Christian by Night Ranger?
Yep. The Warrior by Scandal.
Oh, my God. You remember the video for that?
Yes, with the jacket where the claw marks kept changing color.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the choreographed kind of like fight or whatever.
Yes, that was. And the costuming. Oh my God! You didn't see costumes like that until Wild Boys came out by Duran Duran.
Yep.
But yeah, you've got stuff like a little bit higher on the list. Take a Look at Me Now, Phil Collins, Against All Odds. Hello by Lionel Richie. Oh my God, that is the romantic song of the 80s for me. Is Hello.
We could, you know, looking at that, we could have literally done an episode on 1984.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and we may still do that if we get bored.
Yeah. I think my very favorite 80s song of all time. Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. Definitely top five. Eyes Without a Face.
Yes, that is also one of mine. My all-time number one favorite Prince song is number one on the 1984 list, When Doves Good Cry. One.
Of course.
Yes, I know, me and everybody else.
Huge song.
Even when you go a little bit lower on the list, or even all the way to the bottom, I mean, you've got stuff like Duran Duran's New Moon on Monday.
Yep.
On the Dark Side, the John McCarthy and the Beaver Brown Band. Or John Cafferty, sorry, and the Beaver Brown Band.
Eddie and the Cruisers,
absolutely.
Did you ever watch Eddie and the Cruisers?
Oh, dear God. I went through everything I could find at the time to find out if it was an actual documentary or if it was just a movie.
And, you know, for just a second, you know, apparently the movie came out and people were like, yeah, okay, it was all right. But when it went to HBO... it was one of the first movies that was a quote-unquote rediscovered after it left the theaters.
Right.
You know, a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows after they did their syndicated run, you know, they come back and people on streaming services maybe, you know, kind of rediscover it, or it does really well on rental services. But I remember Eddie and the Cruisers, people just didn't watch it. I don't remember it ever being advertised when it came out in the theaters, but when it hit HBO, there was kind of this little urban legend.
Right.
Sort of, where people were like, is this a documentary? Was this a real band at all? And of course, we didn't have the internet.
Right.
So you couldn't say, well, I'm going to check that real quick. I mean, you know, people at school would be like, who are Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yeah, I never heard of them before, but damn. You know, yeah. And, I mean, even your mid-listings, here you've got Islands in the Stream, Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Huge.
Love is a Battlefield, Pat Benatar.
Mm-hmm.
Almost Paradise.
Oh, my God.
Legs.
Oh,
one of my personal favorite Rick Springfields ever. You Better Love Somebody. That is an amazing, amazing song.
Okay.
And then you've got like Lucky Star by Madonna. Come On, Feel the Noise by by Quiet Riot.
Quiet Riot.
I mean, you've got everything on this list. I do believe this is, if not the last, one of the last top Billboard top 100s that has everything on it. Jazz, blues, pop, rock,
right.
Heavy metal, country.
Country.
Everything
right.
is on here.
And there's a few songs now that I'm looking at it that I can't recall. What was the last song that you named just about a minute ago?
Love Somebody?
I do not recall that song.
You better love somebody. It's late, you better love somebody. Don't
pardon
wait.
Me.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, now I remember.
You're gonna take it just a little too far one night. And then you've got Bananarama, Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
You've also got, let's see.
I'm so excited.
Again, you've got John Lennon on this list, and he died 3 years, 4 years before.
You know, and I do not recall this song. Nobody told me.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with that one either.
I do not recall. Okay, so number 81.
Okay.
Nobody told me John Lennon.
Right.
Number 83, Think of Lara, Christopher Cross. And I love Christopher Cross. I don't recall that song.
I don't know that one either. But, of course, right in the middle is one of my favorite culture clubs. Church of the Poison
Church
Mind.
Church of the Poison Mind. Yeah, that was an anthem.
Yeah, Wrapped Around Your Finger, The Police at number 85. But let me tell you the one song on this list that shocked the hell out of me as to what number it was on the list.
What is it?
It shocked me to my core. Number 78.
Yeah, what? That must have been a December thing.
It had to have been. Number 78, of course, was Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Thriller.
And I thought that would have been much, 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 much higher on the list.
Yes.
But there again, at the top of the list, I have to say the songs that come before it are...
blockbusters,
yes,
man.
Yes. Way incredible.
What's Love Got to Do with It? I mean,
oh,
wow.
My God, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, it's just a chemical reaction. But yeah, I mean, this is 84, I was 10. So this is really getting to, I remember bits and pieces from years earlier, but this is really where my memory really starts to cement.
Agreed.
So, you know,
yeah.
I remember like seeing these videos for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, the song Jump is on this list. It's quite high up. Let's see. It's number six. Yep. Well, I was 10 and had no idea about, you know, movie magic and video magic and that kind of stuff. I asked my sister if there were twins in the band because the same guy was showed up in two different outfits.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. I asked my sister if they were twins and she just looked at me like I had grown three heads and called me stupid and walked away.
But, you know, right around 84, I know that MTV premiered a couple of years earlier, but by 84, all the cable outlets were like, we've got to have MTV.
Right.
And MTV was starting to just get all over the place, and let's face it, a lot of these bands. You know, The Warrior, I don't know if it would have been, you know, for example,
right,
if it would have been as big as it was if it weren't for the fact that that video was amazing.
Yeah, well,
and you know, and people got to see it all the time.
Absolutely. And speaking of bands like Culture Club, I don't know that Culture Club would have been as big as it was without the videos and Boy George wearing his dresses and his makeup in the forefront.
Yeah. Or, you know, Cyndi Lauper.
Right.
You know, if we wouldn't have gotten that visual and the videos and Captain Lou Albano,
yep,
you know.
I think her music might have carried her simply because it was so different.
Yeah, but she was going to sell a bunch of units. But at this point, she had an amazing video team. Like, you've got the team that's not just the audio team, but the video team. And they're just kind of catapulting you
right,
you know, over the top.
And I mean, it got to the point that they were not releasing singles until they had already released the videos.
Good point. Really good point. Yes, I really do think that this is where things kind of started to change.
Yep.
With, you know, records getting on the Billboard 100.
The right.
Video giving a boost. You know, if you didn't have a video, you were losing.
Oh, right. Definitely.
You know,
and the more extravagant the video, the better
oh, yeah.
off you were.
And you had to spin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Once again, like the Warrior video, like the Wild Boys video, like the incredible, you know, outlandish, otherworldly videos that came through during the 80s. You know, these were not just videos. These were mini movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, AHA's Take On Me.
Yeah, well, the video for Take On Me, I remember, or the video for, you know, Money or Nothing.
Oh, yeah. The yeah, animated, but, yes.
But I remember, you know, I always thought that Rick Springfield, you know, Chase's Girl was like a radio hit, and that was cool, and he was rock. But I remember seeing the video for Human Touch.
Yes.
And that video had a cast of easily 100, you know, dancers.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And it was just like crazy. They obviously... Jen, come on, they spent a lot of money on that video.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a killer song, and it was a killer concept, and I really think that he sold a lot more because of that video.
Right, I agree with you. I think you're 100% correct. You know, without these videos and without MTV, I don't think that many of these, quote, superstars would have been so super.
Wow. Right.
You know, and when the concept of MTV first came down, people were like, okay, you've got a TV channel playing short films attached
yeah.
to music all the time. It'll never work.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah, hugely. So much to where we now cry about how they're not like that anymore.
Right. Well, it was so bad they made MTV2 for just videos. And then
yeah,
they
and
filled
then
it up with
off.
All kinds of crap again.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, VH1 ended up kind of coming up because they
right.
started out sort of like that. You know, they're like, all right, if MTV's not going to show any shows, we're going to do it.
But right.
The business model.
Yep. And, you know, it's just, yeah, there was I would give anything if they would put out but they don't have to now. Now you have streaming. You go to YouTube and look up the videos. You don't have to sit there and watch and wait. But that was half the fun, man. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you remember the VJs. The VJs were great.
Yes.
Freedom. You know, they were great hosts. They were kind of the DJs. They had a lot of personality.
I remember when Adam Curry, little blonde, so cute.
Alabama.
With a little blonde. Oh, he's an Alabama?
Yeah, he's from Birmingham.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
but yeah,
he was our guy.
I remember when he got scared off the stage by Typo Negative. That shit was funny as hell.
Okay. Dish on that story, please. just really quick, what?
They were laughing about Typo Negative's whole vampire persona.
Yeah.
And Peter Steele smiled at him and his teeth grew.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Adam Curry went the commercial and didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
It doesn't hurt that Peter Steele was, what, like 6 foot?
Oh, 6'7".
Like, six, yeah, right.
He
right.
was 6'7". And he, yes, ladies, he did a spread in Playgirl magazine. It is worth the look. I have those pictures.
Yeah, he has the trunk.
Oh, yeah, I think he's missing a leg.
Yeah. He gets stupider whenever he, you know, gets excited because all the blood's going elsewhere.
Because there's no blood for anything else. I'm sorry. I don't care how big he is. You know, it all goes elsewhere. Woo! Anyway, yeah, he was impressive. Unfortunately, he did pass away 17 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
think it was 17 years ago. I know my kids were like, my twins were like three.
It's been a minute, you know.
And they just turned 20, so. Let's see what we got here. Let me look that up right quick, and I can give you the definite date. 2010. So 13 years ago. So, yep.
He did an interview, and he talked about his early days when he worked for, it was either New York or New Jersey, wherever he's from. He worked for the park services.
Right.
And, like, cleaned up or whatever. And he's like, that actually was the best time of my life.
Yeah.
I had a great time working a regular job, and I got a lot of job satisfaction out of doing a municipal job. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, he when he came out on stage during one interview, the crowd, of course, went nuts. Everybody was screaming, clapping, yelling, trying to get his attention. You know, we love you, all this stuff. And he's like, hey, guys, calm down. Relax. You know,
I'm trying to do a set.
He's like, look, you know, do you applaud when your doctor walks into the office? He's like, wow. I'm doing a job here. Can you please relax and let me do it? I was like, oh, my God. Wow. That is an impressive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was his whole point. This is a job. Y'all need to just chill out, let me do my job, and we'll all be happy. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
I know exactly how he felt. And he was actually, 1 year older than Johnny Depp. He was born in 1962. So he would have been 61 this year. He was very young when he died.
Yeah. Some sort of congenitive heart condition.
The same reason he's so big. He did not have the elephantitis like Andre the Giant did, but it's right. The disease, I do believe, was linked to it.
Yeah, and it taxed his system too much for all of his life.
Yeah. But he did incredible things while he was here. We have to say that.
It was a good life.
Definitely. I wouldn't have minded it.
No.
All right. 1985. Moving on, the top artist in 85 was Wham. George Michael was the front man.
And number three.
Wham was the top for the year, as far as the artist.
Yeah, but they were also number three. Go-Go.
Oh, yeah, I know, but Madonna was not number two for the top artist of the year. The top song was hers, but not for the top artist of the year. Top earning for 1985 was Wham, if I remember correctly. 1985 year in music, VH1 premiered on January 1st.
Wow.
Huh. Yep. It begins broadcasting on American cable. It's basically for the older generation. For the, you know, the videos that MTV doesn't play anymore.
Okay, yeah, and so they did, like, maybe the, wow, you're blowing my mind.
Yep, and the very first video they played, any idea? Looking it up is not fair.
I'm going to take a swing at the fences. I'm going to say it's... Captain of Her Heart by Double.
No.
All right.
The very first video played was Marvin Gaye's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I always liked VH1 up until the last, like, 10, 15 years. Like, I always liked them. That being said, I didn't know that they premiered that early.
Oh, yeah. Yup. And the song We Are the World was recorded January 28th, 1985 under a umbrella group called USA for Africa, and it included such names as Ray Charles, Bob Dylan, Michael Jackson, Billy Joel, Cyndi Lauper, Steve Perry, Kenny Loggins, Willie Nelson, Lionel Richie, Smokey Robinson, Kenny Rogers, Diana Ross, Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, Huey Lewis, Tina Turner, Sheila E., Harry Belafonte, Lindsey Buckingham, Kim Carnes, Dionne Warwick, Waylon Jennings, And the list goes on and on and on. Yes, Waylon Jennings.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. David Bowie, actually, and David Bowie's in February, David Bowie becomes the first major artist to have his entire record collection, his entire career, converted to CD. He is the first artist to do so.
You know, don't even get me started.
I
believe it. Of course.
David Bowie is my number one top artist, musician ever. Sorry, Johnny. But yeah. He is and always will be, I'm afraid, my absolute top. I mean, he was just incredible. He just had so much going for him. And the fact that he refused to get his teeth fixed and he refused to get the heterochromia fixed in his eyes.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, you know, and I just think you're awesome yet again because Jesus Christ. Really? That's your top number one.
Yeah.
Oh, babe. That's awesome.
I have a Bowie t-shirt that's still in the plastic because it is white.
Ooh.
And
yeah,
I refuse to take it out. It's from his Ziggy Stardust days. So it's
what?
The red Ziggy Stardust with the on the white background. And I refuse
what?
To let it get stained or damaged or anything. I've never had it out of the plastic. I've never had it on.
You need to frame that.
I am going to.
You've already done this with the Springfield shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have the Springfield shirt I framed for the same reason because it's not screen printed. It's
well,
a decal. And
I
wouldn't want
super
it to
rare.
Wouldn't want it to come off, you know.
Wow, I didn't know. I mean, I knew you liked Bowie, but I didn't know it was like that.
Oh my God, yes. I cried for days after he passed away. And he and oh, God, all I can say is Severus Snape. What the heck? Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
They died 7 days apart. They were the same age, and they died of the same type of cancer.
Yeah, I remember people talked about the British invasion, and they talked about those deaths. And it was Bowie, Rickman, and somebody else. They called it the British withdrawal.
Oh, my goodness. That's
because
horrible.
Because they had left the field. And it was, and you're like, oh.
But, yeah, you know? I started crying when Rickman passed. And then Bowie passed right behind him, and I didn't know if I was going to survive. I mean, I really did. I was devastated. Cried for days after that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
However, I did get to see Bowie in concert before he passed. I got to see...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the Glass Spider tour.
You're killing me. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
what?
I got to see the Glass Spider tour in Atlanta. It was an amazing show, I will say that.
Sorry, I'm digesting this. You've never told me this before.
I thought I had told you. I am sorry. Yeah. Yeah, my mom took me to the Glass Spider tour because I had seen they had already released the VHS tape. You know how they would release the concerts?
Right.
On VHS? Well, they had already released the Glass Spider tour, and they did a second time around or a revisitation for a lot of the cities they didn't make it to on the original tour. And I ended up getting lucky enough to catch it in Atlanta, and my mom got me tickets. Me and her went up there. We had an amazing time. The entire show was incredible, to say the least. However, anybody who's seen the Glass Spider Tour video, the chick in blue in the shorts is a plant. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
The one they put in the dress
the
and she dances with Bowie.
The spoiler.
Yep, it's a plant.
Wow.
Because I thought it was incredible because, you know, she's freaking out when they pull her up on stage and, you know, she's crying and everything. They put her in this dress and she goes to Dancing with Bowie and he, like, grabs her butt and she slaps him.
Yeah, that was acting, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
That was acting. Sorry. I was like, okay, that had to have been a plant because no female that I know would slap him for grabbing her butt, you know?
Oh, no, right, no. Yeah, and you know, this year in particular, you know, he'd released, you know, in 86, he's going to do Labyrinth, and we'll talk about that certainly. And
in '84,
he had done, like, Blue Jean,
yeah,
you know, and that sort of thing.
Right. And on a downside to 1985, this is the first time, the first year, that a band was actually sued, taken to court, and sued, claiming that there were backwards messages recorded in their music. The two fans of Judas Priest shot themselves in Sparks, Nevada, and they were listening to the band's records at the time. The family said that they were compelled to kill themselves because of subliminal messages hidden in the music.
Right.
And of course, we all know that is BS.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was the first time this actually, it was said for years, but this was the first time it actually entered a courtroom.
Yeah.
Yup.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with the PMRC, you know, this is kind of the opening salvo, you know, and it started with that case in 85. Yes.
Oh, yeah. However, bands like Motley Crue was like, with the PMRC, we have to put warning labels on our music now because it contains lyrics that are rough. They're like, holy crap, really? Yes! Somebody, I'll put the stickers on. Give me the stickers.
Do you realize
you have just tripled our album sales with that? Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you know, at the same time, they had the court hearings, you know, with the PMRC, and Frank Zappa and Dee Snider testified.
Right.
Before Congress.
And Dee Snider was impressive.
Killed it. And Zappa, too.
Oh, yeah. And now you wouldn't believe it of Zappa. Ooh, because everybody thought Zappa was just kind of a stoner. But that man had it. He brought it.
Yeah. Yeah, 85, okay, so I may not be thrilled with this list of hits, but I dare say, you know, you're definitely on to a really important, very important, and I mean, it's influenced us, from here. You know, 85 was a big year for that sort of thing.
It really was.
Culture and the music.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sitting over here just glancing over the list, some of the most impressive and some of the most impressionable songs are on this list. We Belong by Pat Benatar, number 39. Number 40, Night Shift. Do you remember Night Shift by the Commodores?
Oh my God. Yeah, their tribute to Marvin Gaye.
Well, it wasn't just Marvin Gaye.
It was
a tribute to three or four different artists that had died violently. Then you got Freeway of Love by Aretha Franklin.
And the back to back from Duran Duran at 35 and 36.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Wild Boys, that's the video. And then you've got the View to a Kill before that. Now, View to a Kill was for a Bond movie by the same name. They recorded in Paris. And apparently French people do not like Duran Duran for some reason. They said in an interview, you know, that they were doing all the recording and everything, and they, you know, they were used to the laid-back European fans. But,
sure.
Yeah, so the people not mobbing them and not coming up to them was not a big deal, but then they kept hearing whispers, and if they ever got close, it's like, oh my God, is that Duran Duran? Yeah, dude, man, I can't stand them.
Yeah, right. Well, the French and the British,
I guess it's
one of those things, but that is pretty damn funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then you've got at number 51, Raspberry Beret.
Yeah.
One Night in Bangkok.
Number 54.
Yes. I just heard that the other day, actually. I love that song. Who do you want me to be to make you sleep with me?
Yep. that's another iconic.
Yes. Oh, and number 57. That's the 80s up and down. First woman past the age of 50 to show her body out like she did. And Cher came along right after.
Yeah. I would dare say that it was Tina that helped Cher.
Oh, yeah.
Do the whole, you know, thing. And what a year for Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah. She did have a great year.
Well, and there was that We Don't Need Another Hero, which was for Mad Max.
Yeah.
She was the main villain in the Mad Max movie.
Yes, she
showed
she
some
was.
Incredible. She was a fantastic villain.
Oh, yeah, and she showed some incredible acting chops that people just did not understand that she had.
Well, yeah, well, we didn't know, you know, and then you give her this massive role, and she delivered.
Oh, man, she killed it.
Yes.
And then moving on, you got number 55, If You Love Something, Someone, Set Them Free. You got Better Be Good to Me, another Tina Turner.
Yep.
Right. Smooth Operator, Sade.
And we were introduced to Sade.
Oh, yeah. And then another Cyndi Lauper, All Through the Night.
Wow.
Glory Days, Voices Carry, Would I Lie to You? All the way, I mean, there's just so many frigging hits on this one. A Julian Lennon. Figures in at number 77 and number 78. Wow.
Yeah. You know, this is one of those lists now, it seems to me, the songs that I appreciated more were towards the end.
Right. Me too. Well, you've got, Some Like It Hot by, is it Arcadia or Power Station? Power Station. Now, Duran Duran never split up. However, let's see, Simon Le Bon, Roger Taylor, and Nick Taylor went and formed the sub-band called Arcadia. John Taylor and Andy went and formed Power Station. I got to see Power Station in concert, but Robert Palmer, who was the lead singer, was sick. He had laryngitis. Guess who sang in his place? I'd never heard of the man until this concert, but now, oh my God. Michael Desbarres.
Oh, yeah. Michael Desbarres,
He was the front man for the concert that we saw for Power Station. It was amazing.
Yeah. I really, really liked, banging. I liked Power Station.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I liked Arcadia, too.
Arcadia was, my favorite member of the band was always Andy. So Andy Taylor.
So talented.
Andy Taylor, I loved him always. And
good looking.
Oh, yeah. And so, I followed
swagger.
Power. What?
He had the swagger.
He did.
Actually, a lot of people, kind of assumed, and I have to sort of agree with them, that he channeled the American side more than anybody in Duran Duran and subsequent bands. But the way he played guitar was,
he was incredible.
Absolutely.
Oh, and at the very, very tail end of the list, we've got things like California Girls, David Lee Roth.
Oh my God.
Lonely Old Night, Mellencamp, Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen, Private Dancer, Tina Turner. Fortress Around Your Heart by Sting and Penny Lover number 95 by Lionel Richie.
Wow.
And then all she wants to do is dance.
And what got everybody up in the 80s going into 90s at like 11:30 after the wedding, Jungle Love by the time.
Yes.
White people, like old white people,
jumping
up and doing, oh, wee, yo, wee,
yo. Yep, you got it right. That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, the little banger anthems.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, no, it was a little bit later than that. I was about to say that was when I was introduced to the Violent Femmes, but the Violent Femmes came later, so.
88.
Okay. I knew it was a bit later than 85. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, now you're charming us a second time, channeling the Violent Femmes. Oh, my God. You know your music for sure.
I do. Well, music, I've said it before, I'll say it again, when... Because a lot of times I have trouble finding the right word, and I do that on a common, regular, everyday basis, but when it's important, I really have trouble. So a lot of times I will quote song lyrics because there's a song out there that's going to fit whatever you have to say, whatever you want to say, whatever you're feeling, whatever the situation. Someone has written a song about it somewhere. And, you know, a lot of times those musicians can say things, say exactly what I want to say a lot better than I would ever be able to say it. So, yeah, you know, I do relate well to the music, so.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that I am a little more, I mean, I love Hiddleston, of course. Of course. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, Depp, of course, he's had a longer career, and so you have more.
He's also closer to our age.
And he is closer to our age, and he is the, I'm a musician.
Right.
And he, you know, is really good at that craft.
Yep. And he's fallible. I'm sorry, but Hiddleston, I know the man makes mistakes. I know it happens.
Sure.
But you don't hear about him.
Well, you know, Johnny has identified himself as a musician first, and between you and me, and maybe you'll agree, maybe not, I know you'd be able to understand it at least. I like my musicians and my artists to have, like, those vices and those struggles, you know what I mean? And Johnny, let's face it, alcohol and drug abuse... Tom, not so much. Johnny, he's come through the other side.
But the alcohol and drug abuse is something that so many people have to deal with on an everyday basis. So it makes Johnny a bit more real to them.
Yeah. You know, Johnny actually made drug and alcohol abuse a little more cool again.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's a good thing, guys. We're not saying go out and do it. But
I'm kidding.
But, you know, he at least made it understandable again.
Yeah.
You know, and I swear to God, Johnny is the dark side of Hiddleston. They are opposite sides of the coin. But that's why Johnny is so relatable, because he has seen that dark side. He understands it. He, you know, I've used one of his quotes all the time. That, you know, I have fought my demons, now we just sit around and talk.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah.
I try to drown my demons, but those motherfuckers learned how to swim.
No kidding. Absolutely. But, yeah, so, 1986 now? Now we're getting into, not quite teenage years for me, for you it was. 1986, you were 16?
Yeah, and looking at this list, I can understand now why when I was at 16, I was like, the radio is not that great. I'm getting into metal, and I'm getting into The Cure.
The Cure was amazing. You know, but yeah, looking at this list, now number 15.
First, before we go to that, Oh my God. Because you just picked a fucking great one. But that being said, you kind of look at the list, the top 10.
Yeah.
For me, they weren't that great. And this is what made me kind of turn to other music forms.
However, if you look at the top 10, what's the one thing that everything except number 7, all 10 of them, have the same theme? Broken hearts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you could say this is the year of the heartbreak. This is the year of the breakup. So, but a lot of these songs, I mean, I'm just looking over the list, and a lot of these songs, I've put on a playlist and listened to them over and over and over again when I've had some, you know, some bad issues. So,
got you.
You know.
So the top 10,
yep.
What is your go-to song when you're just feeling hurt?
For the top 10?
Yeah, the top 10, strictly 86.
Strictly 86. I would have to say that would probably be number 4.
Ooh, good one.
It's really a toss-up between number 4 and number 5, but I think number 4 yeah. is closer, is probably, you know.
Well, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was, and you gotta love Patti LaBelle.
For me, it was Broken Wings, but now that I've gotten older and look in retrospect, I mean, first of all, Patti LaBelle, of course.
Yes. God,
of course.
And Michael
McDonald. You throw Michael McDonald in a song, and you've just given it a buff of plus 10.
Oh, right. Definitely.
You know, his voice is amazing, and we hadn't heard a lot of Michael McDonald.
Right.
You know, other than the Doobie Brothers.
Right.
And he was kind of doing his own, you know, stuff solo.
Oh, yeah.
Or with duets at this point.
Yep. And the number 7, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, okay. This is the only Eddie Murphy song to ever make it to the charts.
Yeah, it was him, and Rick James actually was a huge silent partner. I mean, of course, he did the background, but he also wrote the song, he produced it, he provided the musicians, and it was pretty much Eddie just doing the vocals.
Yeah.
You know, that was 75% Rick James and 25% Eddie Murphy. And it's a jam. I love Party All the Time.
Oh, yeah.
But let's face it, when you look at everybody else on the list, Eddie is not the most gifted vocalist.
No. But
he reminds me of me at, like, karaoke, just, like, swinging at the fences.
And having fun.
And having a good time. Yes, ma'am.
Now, number 28 was my sister's favorite song that year.
Oh,
Falco.
This one is blowing me away. I thought this was more like 82.
No, uh-uh.
Rock Me Amadeus. Amadeus. Amadeus.
And followed by Papa Don't Preach. Oh, my word. And, you know, it was very subtle. At the age I was then, at 12? I picked up that there was something in the song I wasn't getting, but I wasn't sure what it was. But yeah, she's actually talking about being pregnant. And, you know, that was just, you didn't talk about that. Not if you were single. No, you didn't. But there was a lot of it happening. You know, it's just that was something you didn't talk about. But she brought it out, you know, and it was great. And then, of course, you've got Bon Jovi on the list this year with You Give Love a Bad Name, Slippery When Wet album.
Yep, huge album.
Oh, yeah.
So, did you own it?
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone, Glass Tiger.
Oh, wow. Yep. And, you know, for me, Something About You, number 37,
yes.
Level 42, I loved that flipping song. And it was a radio song, but it wasn't your regular rocker.
Right. And then you've got Conga on number 42, Miami Sound Machine. I know you remember that one.
Oh, 40?
42.
No, number 40.
Oh, number 4. Is it 40? Oh, it is 40. I do apologize.
No, because 42 is the equally awesome Danger Zone.
Oh, yes. Gotta love Kenny Loggins. And that's where Kenny kind of crossed over from kind of country to almost rock.
Yeah, super folksy. And then the electric guitars
right.
came out and he killed it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Words Get in the Way, Miami Sound Machine. That is my signature song. It has to be.
Yeah, big year for them.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I've been told I always know what to say, and then I've been told I never know what to say. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got the Bangles with Manic Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta Another love
Prince
that
song.
One.
That was a Prince-written song.
Was it? Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Prince is actually on the list at number... Where are you at? Number 19 with Kiss. Absolutely. Never by Heart at number 18 is a great one. Simply Red, Holding Back the Years. Another heartbreak song.
Wow.
Sarah by Starship, and then Human right after it by the Human League.
I remember the first, like, big date that I ever went on. For some reason, Holding Back the Years was playing, and I had it pre-recorded on a cassette.
Oh, wow.
And I kept playing that for some reason to kind of set the mood, and it actually worked.
Did you get late?
No.
Oh, damn.
No, this girl was from way out of town.
Oh, got ya.
And it was like a quick visit. I was part of a... They had the junior... They used to do the Junior Miss pageants down here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is going to sound so... this is going to sound so awful.
Okay, so? Spill?
Well, there was a huge... like local southeastern chain of clothing stores called Gafers.
Yeah.
They're kind of related to Belks and Parisians and that sort of thing. Sorry if you guys aren't from around here, you won't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, they would hire for their Sunday periodicals, they would hire young models to model their clothes. And I was a model on what they called the teen board.
Were
Gafers.
You?
Well, yeah, and so the Junior Miss pageant would come to Mobile, and they would basically ship us to the USS Alabama battleship, where they would do this really great kind of pre-thing, and they had like a Sadie Hawkins dance
type
sort of thing.
Nice.
And I was like, I am going to land a Junior Miss, and I'll be damned.
Yeah,
you
did.
If I didn't, and you know, I ended up seeing this girl actually like the day after. She only had like an hour, and I took her to lunch, but it was really charming. She was Miss, and I'm not going to say what state she was from because that could possibly give her away.
Right,
but
you don't have
her
permission.
It was really, really, she picked me during the Sadie Hawkins dance. She like came right up to me, and I was like, thank you, Simply Red.
Oh, man. Oh, and now we're talking about some really, really big songs that I haven't heard in a while. Well, I've heard this one quite often lately, but number 61 is just one of those that you don't forget. All Cried Out by Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Oh, my God. Lisa Lisa.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, at number 67 is the song. Every time I see this song, I think of two things. I think of Batteries Not Included. Or no, not Batteries Not Included.
Short Circuit.
Short Circuit, yeah. And yeah. I think of Short Circuit, and I think, of course, of Johnny Depp.
Yes. Now,
that is, the song is called Who's Johnny? And it's by El DeBarge.
Yep, huge.
But what was funny, if you look at numbers, let's see, 45... Then you have number 59 and number 60 right behind it. You have Let's Go All the Way at number 45. Then you have Take Me Home Tonight at 59. And then at 60, We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
That is pretty funny.
Well, I mean, it's the whole, you got, you know, the two sides to the coin. You got the sex sells, and you've got the, hey, let's preach abstinence.
You know, that being said, Jermaine Stewart ended up dying of AIDS. Some 5, maybe 10 years after the song came out.
Oh, and now that's
to where
bad.
We were like, apparently, there were, anyway, yeah.
Okay, I have a story for number 72.
Okay.
All right. I do have a friend that's a teacher. Teaches literature. Barry,
what?
Everybody knows Barry.
Well, we can talk about, yes,
yep.
It's Barry.
He had an assignment he gave to his students. They had to create a simple poem. Well, back in the day, you actually had to look stuff up to see if it was plagiarized. Nowadays, they have a program. You just run it through this program and it says it's this percent plagiarized or whatever. Well, he didn't need the program because one of his students wrote the poem, quote unquote. I live in a small town. I can breathe in a small town.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes, he copied the words to John Cougar Mellencamp's small town and turned it in thinking Barry wouldn't catch it.
I would play that song in front of the entire class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 74 is a good one, too. All I need is a miracle.
Yep.
It's a great one.
Liking the mechanics.
Yes,
and
it is.
And you know what? And the next one, Michael McDonald coming in with that solo with Sweet Freedom, which was part of that Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines Running Scared.
Yes. Yep. And then you've got, 73.
Freaking Tarzan boy, yes.
Absolutely.
And actually, if I could point out, number 69, Why Can't This Be Love by Van Halen.
Yes.
This is the album where they ended up essentially firing
David Lee Roth.
And they picked up Sammy Hagar, and everyone was convinced. Because Sammy had like a couple of minor hits. He did I Can't Drive 55.
Right.
Remember that song? And they're like, the I Can't Drive 55 guy is going to be your... And they killed it for at least two albums.
Yeah.
U812 and I can't remember the other one, but, you know, Sammy.
Yeah.
Respect for Sammy.
Absolutely. Definitely.
He did a great, great song, a great, great run.
Yeah, he did. Oh, and number 91 is another one of my bands that I really love.
You're so cool.
I love the Moody Blues, man. They are amazing. So you've got that one, and then you've got like number 84. There's another, and on this list you've got both Phil Collins, as solo, and you have Genesis, which he frontlines. So, number 84, Throwing It All Away. Love that song. As a matter of fact, that was playing, a friend of mine was playing it at work today. So, yeah, I heard it in the back. So that was awesome. And then Walk This Way with Run DMC and Aerosmith.
Wow. You want to talk about how important this song was?
Oh, dear God.
Would you like to talk about this one, ma'am?
Oh, my God. The one thing that, because see, I thought I was misremembering. Because you didn't hear lyrics like this on 80 songs. But at one point, where he says, just give me a kiss.
Yeah.
In the Run DMC version, that is not what he says.
No. Right, exactly.
Just give me some head. That was not said in the 80s. But yeah, apparently it was. But yeah, this is the breakthrough with the rap meets the rock and roll, and it's also huge. Catapulted the rap genre into popular music.
Yeah, it became mainstream.
Definitely. That is where it started. And now that's pretty much all you hear if you turn on new stations is you're going to hear rap.
Well, and I love when rap meets rock, and this was the first one, and then, like, Anthrax ended up, like, 2 years later doing it with Public Enemy, and, I mean, everybody does it. And these guys basically, both of these bands were like, guys, it's music.
And
can do this together.
You've even got country bands getting into it now. The song, This Is My House, or Welcome to My House, I apologize. Welcome to My House by New Breed is one of my favorite, absolute favorite country songs, and a lot of people don't even consider it country, but they use rap in their music, and it is incredible.
Well, in that, old country road or whatever?
Take Me Home, Country Roads?
It's with Little Nas X.
I'll have to look that one up. I'm not sure which one that one is.
Sex Country Road. He did it with Old Town Road.
Oh, okay. Old Town Road. I gotcha. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know,
and Lil Nas is
with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep, and yeah, anybody says Lil Nas, Billy Ray Cyrus, people are gonna go, what?
Well, Billy Ray Cyrus is laughing at your poor ass while, you know, he's eating fried brie at Stately Cyrus Manor.
Right.
You know, you exactly. can criticize him all you want.
But I mean, there's no criticism here. There is no criticism here, but yeah, a lot of people gave him crap about it. Of course, a lot of people give Lil Nas crap because of his video, which I think is stupid. It was funny.
Well, you know, if it weren't for, you know, Walk This Way,
none of that would have happened.
Likely wouldn't have seen it. Exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's no way that, because let's face it, Tupac, you know, big, notwithstanding, the rap genre would not have made mainstream and would have continued to be considered a lower class of music had it not been for Run-DMC.
Yeah, agreed. Well, and I remember Nelly ended up doing a crossover with Tim McGraw, a beautiful song called Over and Over, Over and Over Again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was a huge hit. Bone Thugs and Harmony ended up crossing over with Phil Collins with Home. Take Me Home.
And oh, yeah.
Kept that beat. And they're like, we're not changing anything. We're keeping the beat. We're keeping Phil Collins, you know, chorus, and they wrap their asses off, and then
right.
the actual beauty of the original song
come through.
Kind of driving.
And speaking of the whole rap genre and Tupac and Biggie Smalls, City of Lies. City of Lies, starring Johnny Depp and Forrest Whitaker. They actually dive into the deaths of Big and Tupac. There's still no official ruling as to what happened to the two men. However, this movie actually goes into the unofficial quote truth of the matter. They do believe it was dirty cops that killed the two of them.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not saying anything that can't be seen on the movie. So as in, don't think I'm down in cops. I don't. I have a lot of cop friends. I think they're good guys.
We're talking about the movie.
But they found out that a lot of the cops that were involved in these two guys' security details, they were playing both sides of the fence. So I mean, how can you be a police officer and protect
and not
drug sales?
Yeah, in L.A. with, you know, Biggie.
Right.
What, City of Lies, huh?
City of Lies. It is a, let's see, what year was this put out?
2018.
Okay, yeah, 2018. And it is, I caught it, I think I caught it last time I was over at Barry's. I caught it.
Wow, you know, I don't know a lot about this movie.
Oh, it's amazing.
So it was good. You liked it.
Oh, my God. I had gotten kind of jaded and a little bit bored with all the what happened to Tupac. You know, okay, look, I understand it's a big deal. I understand everybody wants to know, but come on, give it a rest. You're beating a dead horse, you know? But then I watched the movie and realized why it was such an important deal, why it was so important to really find out. So, yeah, it's an amazing movie. I was enraptured from the moment it began to the moment it ended, and not just because of Johnny, although he did kill it as the investigator, and Forrest Whitaker killed it as the journalist.
Yeah, and you know, another reason I love this podcast is, you know, of course, it's about Johnny and Tom, but it's the people they co-star with.
Right.
And if you ask me, Johnny Depp and Forrest Whitaker?
Oh, dream team.
Wow, huh?
Dream
really?
Team.
So, and I haven't seen it. It was good?
Oh, man, it was incredible. Forest Whitaker has been amazing from the get.
Oh, so, for sure.
But you've also got people like Michael Pare, Shea Wingham is in it.
Michael Pare is in it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Streets of Fire, and actually Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah.
Michael Pare.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, it really was. It was an incredible, incredible movie. So if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Has the podcast ever examined Body of Lies?
Not yet. City of Lies.
We should.
Okay, we can do that. I will put that on the list. I will definitely put that on the list. Yeah, check it out. It is an amazing movie.
I'll admit, I don't remember it ever being released.
It was. It was not hyped a lot.
Right.
Now, why it was not, I don't know, except for the fact that the producers thought it would speak for itself.
It is controversial. It sounds like what we're dealing with, it could make some people angry.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. But let's see. I'm trying to see what it grossed. Give me just a second. All right, let's see.
And yes, gentle reader, this is why we do these offshoot sort of programs. I had no idea.
Let's see.
Very interesting.
Wise.
Well, how do you link the Notorious B.I.G. with Johnny Depp? It's actually one single freaking step.
One single freaking step. That is it. That is it. So let's see what we've got here. Let's see. Budgets.
What was the budget if you're actually there? Was this like a huge... I take it this wasn't like a Michael Bay tons of explosions kind of movie.
Okay, City of Lies budget. And it just keeps going, throwing me back to the same page. Let's see. Here we go, the numbers. Let me pull this up. The numbers. All right. The theatrical performance or the home market performance, neither one was very good. The worldwide box office was $2,811,000.
Okay.
I'm looking for the budget, and I'm still not finding it. Let's see.
Does Johnny generally insist on getting paid a lot for his movies?
He usually does not insist upon it, and 90% of the time he donates at least half of his earnings to other... and it ran against Aquaman. That is so funny.
Oh, gee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny, but it's not ha-ha funny.
And this is actually the same website. This is called The Numbers. This is the same website I got all of those movies on.
Yeah.
So
they're a great dependable website.
Yes, I love it. And I'm still not finding the I'm still not finding the budget. It's not giving me a budget. Let's try this one more time. And I do apologize, guys. I should have had this, but I had no idea that we would get
that was my fault.
Okay, so...
I'm gonna cheat and just do the wiki.
That's, yeah. As I was... Because they usually...
The box office was 2.8.
Right. Yeah, but what was the budget?
That's all they got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not giving a budget for this. Yeah,
said, on Redbox and, the general, quote-unquote, rentals, it was number one.
Yep. Debuted at number 20. One. On Redbox, the film debuted at number one on the rental chart.
And they, of course, you know, Roper from, you know, Siskel and Roper, he's like, look, but when it comes down to it, I'm giving it 3 out of 4 stars because of Depp and Whitaker, because they had quote-unquote stellar work.
Oh, yeah. I told you, it was amazing. All right, I'm looking on IMDb now to see if I can find the...
And they did say that it ended up getting kind of tanked because this is when we started getting into the Amber Heard allegations, and that stunted it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did. Amber pretty much fucked his world up from the beginning.
And here's where it begins, right?
Yep. But yeah, they're not listing a budget here either. So I will have to do some work on that and see if I can find a little bit more out about that. So I will do that. I'll put that on my list.
This is a really interesting, potentially a really interesting film.
Oh, yeah. And it is controversial.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they take a stand as to, quote-unquote, what happened, and they follow it all the way, I suppose.
They follow it as far as the rabbit hole will allow them.
Mm. And as far as that rabbit hole was, you know, developed by people that were intimate with the case.
Right. There was what's the word? See, I never have the right words. The people that say, okay, this is right, that's not, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the behind-the-scenes guys were involved with the cases.
Well, you know, kudos again, and I hate to sound like I'm glad-handing on Johnny's career, but this was going to be a controversial film, and he decided to take it.
He always does.
Right.
He always does. That has been his MO from the beginning, is taking the roles that mean something to him, or that that he believes, you know, have merit or meaning. You know, that's what those are the movies he takes. So, you know, it's not a surprise to me that he would do this one.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, and guys, I do want to apologize to everyone who does go to our blog. It has not been posted on for a couple of weeks now. I have been having some issues with my internet. So I am going to see about getting those fixed. I hope they are already fixed. And we will be posting on that blog. Baby, we are 12 minutes over already.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got City of Lies, then we're going to line that one up shortly after. Whenever you can get to the point where you can watch the movie, let me know. And we can go from there as to scheduling the podcast for it. You have some contact information?
I have contact information for my PlayStation Network.
Right.
Which, guys, you know, as ridiculous as it sounds, I'm on PlayStation a lot. You can always message me on PlayStation Network at Traveler with 2 L's, Traveler2300, one word, no spaces.
Great. And we've got our contact information. We have our email, which is depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We have a dedicated phone line, guys. We will return your call if we do not answer it. That phone number is 949-373-5476. Leave us a message. Let us know what you think. Let us know when a good time to call you back will be, and let us know who you want to talk to. We'll make sure we get there. We also do have the blog, which is going to be posted on a lot more regularly as soon as I get these issues straightened out. That is depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go to barryreese.net and click on the link. I do believe that is all our contact information.
Yes.
All right, guys, we are over time once again, so I apologize. We will catch you next week, and, you know, if you can't be good at it. Check you later.
Love and peace.
Peace and love. We're out.
Bye.